the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you this morning. As Johnny and Joan said, my name's Clive. I'm Clive Hughes. I'm one of the staff leaders here at the church and just a member of the family of the church. And it's my privilege to take us through the reading that Rob has helped us understand and to think about what Palm Sunday might mean for us in the 21st century from something that happened so long ago. I wonder if, like me, you're one of millions who have been hooked each week to this line of duty. It might miss several of you. BBC's Line of Duty series about police crime, twists and turns of the plot, trying to work out who the real mastermind is. It's caught people's imaginations, that sort of sense of, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Is it? No, it couldn't be Hastings, could it? There's an advert for BBC. Anyway, but there's a whole big reveal, isn't there? And we're hooked onto whatever it might be, that's the current thing, but we like to find things out. In today's Bible passage, we find a big reveal. It's a crucial moment in the life of Jesus. A crucial moment, so big, it's recorded equally in equal detail in all four Gospels. This is a moment when Jesus makes it clean, when the music stops and everyone waits to find out, who is it? Who is it? The crowds around him, the people are gathered, as Rob gave us that sense of longing for someone after centuries who will lead them to throw off the opposition of the Romans. Someone who, maybe we've been seeing over the last few weeks, entered Jerusalem to become king, but not in the way that we might understand. It's March and April time. It's the Passover. The city is preparing for this Passover festival, a remembrance of a great liberation, a great freedom. The population of Jerusalem at that time was probably around about 45,000, 50,000. During the Passover festival, it became 250,000, five times the size. It was just heaving with people who were here to celebrate that great moment and longing for a great future. When, Lord, will things be different? When will the Romans be gone? When will we have our own nation? When will we be known as God's people, as you promised so many years ago? And along comes a preacher from the north, speaking with authority not previously heard, speaking with confidence, doing miracles about a kingdom to come. Matthew is writing about what's happened. He's giving us narrative. He's giving us a story. Let's step into the story and see what he's saying to us. What are the clues? We're going to read together on page 935 in the Green Bibles that are in front of you if you want to look them up. It'd be great if you could do that and read with me. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. And when we're reading story, narrative, it's not the same as reading sort of instruction. So we have to just get into it and feel what's going on and have a sense of the events that are happening and understand the context. And Matthew gives us lots of clues about what really is happening here. He isn't just recounting some events. He's saying there are clues here. Have a look, see what questions you might have or what clues you can spot. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, page 935. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there, tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet.
"Comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey."
The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted,
"Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!
Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered,
"This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Thank you to those who helped with that reading. I just wanted to create that sense of being in the crowd. Not everyone was there singing those songs, but everyone could see what was happening as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. So what is Matthew telling us? What is he giving us clues about who this man is, about what he's come to do, and what it means for his readers and for me and for you? Jesus says, first of all, there's an announcement to hear. There's an announcement to hear. Notice the party, the celebration. People are coming in. His followers have come with him. He's walked from Jericho to Jerusalem. That's a long way uphill. Jericho is one of the lowest points on the earth, and he's gone to climb and climb and climb and climb. He comes over this ridge, sees Jerusalem, and sees the city, and he enters the city as this king who is welcomed by the people. His followers are with him. They're excited. At last, we can declare who has come. And in this public place, 250,000 people, gathered from across the country, across the region, Jesus is declaring that he is king. An announcement has been made. This is more than just a spectacular moment. This is a culmination of all sorts of things in history. Jesus has orchestrated this. Jesus has decided this is the moment when I am going to make it really clear who I am and what I've come to do. He does this as he gathers the donkey. I don't think it was an accident. I think that probably that was a supporter, a follower. Jesus had been to Jerusalem a couple of times. But whatever it was, that person was willing to put what they had to the use of Jesus. Whatever resources they had, they were willing to give for this declaration, this news, this work of sharing God's news across the world. And just as a slight aside, a sort of sidebar, what have we got that we could be using day in, day out? This was that person's livelihood. It wasn't a special donkey. It had been kept, I suppose. It hadn't been ridden before, hadn't been broken in, but it was part of that person's livelihood. What about us? What resources do we have, and how do we use them? I was talking to a friend of mine who's at Belmont, and they're at work, and one of their colleagues had to go to a funeral. And they came into work that day and said, "Oh, my car's broken down, and I don't know how I'm going to get there." And my friend said, here's my car keys. You go. Have my car for the day. And the rest of the team went, "You've just given him your very nice car." And he goes, "But why wouldn't I? It's not mine." And I just thought it was a lovely picture of giving a donkey for Jesus' purposes. Whatever it is, whether it's a car, whether it's your home, whether it's a meal, whether it's just a kind word and some 5 minutes of conversation, what can we give that announces Jesus more? Very simple little insight on that sort of the donkey thing. I think it's more of an aside, really, to what Matthew's really telling us, but just want to draw your attention to that. The donkey owner was happy to let their resources be used for God's purposes. So Matthew gives an explanation of what's going on. That's this reading from Zechariah. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This is a prophecy from hundreds of years before Jesus of what was expected of this coming king. The same theme is also echoed in Isaiah. And they haven't just picked out a few verses. Matthew's chosen to use those verses, but he's saying, go back and look. Look at the whole thing. See what's promised. Humility, peace, rescue, rule, a new kingdom. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. Matthew's giving commentary to what's happening. Jesus claims that these statements, by riding on a donkey, Jesus says, I am your king. I am that king that you were looking for. I have come and I am here. He is the king who rides into Jerusalem. The one who's come to proclaim peace, gently, not with a sword, not to fight, not to overthrow violently, but one who has come to extend a new kingdom, to make a new way, a way of knowing God that has not been known before, a way by which sins can be forgiven, friendship with God can be restored. The Lord God is fulfilling his promises. He is keeping his promises from centuries and centuries before. God is faithful. God is faithful. Why should the crowd listen? Why should the crowd, is it just another PR stunt? I thought the video was really helpful. No tweets, no announcements, no parades, no festivals, and that sort of, no floats. Why should the crowd listen? Well, they've seen Jesus for 3 years around the area. He's been to Jerusalem several times. This peasant preacher from the Middle East speaks with authority that no one has heard before. But in our day, there are many religious leaders, many speakers, many people with views. Just go on the internet and download any videos you like, from very, very strange views to very mainstream views. Speaking about Jesus into that context is a really challenging thing to do. Why should someone listen? Speaking about Jesus is not popular. Why should anyone listen? I think people, the only way we can ask people to listen is because our lives live out what it is we believe. If we're Christians, we're called to actually enact that which the King has set ahead of us. We're called to speak with confidence. It's an unpopular message. Jesus says, repent of your sins, come to me, and the only way to know Jesus, to know the Father, is through me. That is not popular. And if we say it without love and without generosity and without a lifestyle that backs it up, then it is just hollow, clanging gongs. But with love, Jesus comes and says, I am your King. I am your King, the one who has come to save you. Have you heard this announcement for yourself? Maybe you're new here today and thinking, just around for Easter, visiting family. I didn't expect this today. Here's an announcement. Jesus is the one who can be your King. He's the one who can rule your life with grace, love, gentleness and peace, hope and restoration, because your sins can be forgiven, because you can know the life of God within you. If you've heard the announcement, who are you telling it to? Who are you passing it on to? Who is the news going to be given to? If you'd like to know a bit more about Jesus' story and what happens next, there are some Gospels at the back. Pick one up. I think there's a copy of Luke, which is this version, and there might be a copy of John, to read the remaining part of what happens at Easter, to see the story of Jesus. The drama grows. An announcement to hear, a welcome to give. That's what Matthew challenges us. How will we welcome this King? Here's how the crowd go about it. They take coats, they take branches, they sing songs. Three actions that tell us something. They're not just a spontaneous reaction of joy, although they could be seen as that. They're symbols. We all understand symbols, don't we? We all understand. If there were lots of men on the streets in red coats at this time of year, you would think that was a bit odd, wouldn't you? You'd be thinking, that's Christmas, isn't it? And if you saw lots of chocolate eggs and lambs around in October, you'd be thinking, hang on a minute, isn't that meant to be Halloween? What's going on? We understand the symbols, we understand the signs, we understand the things that are happening. And actually, Matthew draws our attention to three things that echo the history of Israel. Three things that draw out what they should know, because they knew their Bibles well. Firstly, he tells them about cloaks. The cloaks that Jesus brings, that the crowd brings to Jesus and put before him to honor the King. They bring their coats and they lay them before the King. They take off their coats and they put them down in front of Jesus and they say, we honor you. Walk over this. Go this way. Why did they do that? Well, back in 2 Kings chapter 9, there was a king called Jehu. And he was a reforming king. And he'd come to cleanse the temple. He'd come to bring new life. And when he came into Jerusalem, the crowds put coats down in front of him. It's another echo. How are you going to live with this king? What about the branches? The branches celebrate his victory. As Jesus comes in, they cut down branches and they wave them in honor of and worship to him. They declare his victory. 200 years beforehand, there'd been a violent overthrow by a chap called Judas Maccabees, and there'd been a violent attempt to take power in Jerusalem. And his symbol had been a palm branch because it reflected the palm branches that are mentioned in Psalm 118. Palm branches of praise and celebration. So as they come, they give praise and they put their branches before Jesus, the King. They bring and they bow down and they wave their arms, their branches in praise to the King. They celebrate the victory that has come. And thirdly, Matthew says, there's a soundtrack to this. Psalms. There's a psalm here. I don't know about you, but whenever you listen to and watch a film or TV, the soundtrack makes such a difference, doesn't it? It sort of tells you how you should feel. If you took the music away, you wouldn't always know what they're trying to do sometimes. The music is such a key part of the presentation in our media these days. And actually, I think this is what's going on here. There's a soundtrack to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. This soundtrack is Psalm 118. That's where those phrases come from. Hosanna to the Son of David is the top and bottom of it. But blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 25, which talks about this psalm of victory, this psalm of deliverance, this psalm of praise. The crowd cheer him on, and they sing their songs of praise and worship. They put the soundtrack to this victory. They put the soundtrack so that people may know that this King is the one we were expecting, is the one we hoped for. This is the welcome we give. We praise his name, we bow before him, we acknowledge his victory. Over the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at this series called Cross Examined, and Johnny and Simon have been helping us in morning services to remember what happens at the end of Holy Week. We've sort of wound backwards and just gone, let's just see the beginning. Let's just see the beginning. Jesus' week ends very differently to how it begins. It ends on a cross. We come to lay before him, but his week ends on a cross. He starts on a donkey. He finishes on a cross. On Good Friday this week, we have an opportunity to gather at the cathedral and remember the events of Good Friday. Come along 10 o'clock, and there'll be some readings and reflections around in the city as well afterwards. And if you've got family, then after that, you'll see in Focus, there's a Good Friday Fab Club, something that's all agey that'll be happening out in here. Do come and join us in that. Remembering that the King who came to save did it in a very unusual way. A very unusual way. But in so doing, we bring our praise and our honour and our response to him. We bring our worship to the King. We acknowledge him, we see him, and we respond and welcome him. That is the call of Palm Sunday. Not just, hey, we've got a champion, but Jesus, you are my King. You are the one that I bow before. You are the one that I celebrate. You are the one who has brought life. What welcome will you give to that King? And thirdly, a question to answer. Jesus orchestrated this event, this moment, this declaration. And the response in verse 10, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Matthew uses a word which the translators said stirred. It's actually a more powerful word, really. It's shaken, disturbed, disrupted, even maybe something like seismic, earthquake sort of nature. When the people start to wonder who really Jesus is, their foundations are shaken. Everything they've thought about. Wow, is this really God becoming King? Is this who he says he is? Because if he is, it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything. The whole city is stirred. They're prompted to respond. And the answer from the crowds, from the followers who've come with Jesus from Jericho to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. A start. It's a start. But not the whole answer. They acknowledge Jesus for who he is. They acknowledge his name. Jesus is a name we hear a lot in our society, certainly in Western societies. You might hear it in all sorts of areas, but John Ortberg puts this in his book about Jesus. Who is this man? It is in Jesus' name that desperate people pray, grateful people worship, and angry people swear. From christenings to weddings to sick rooms to funerals, it is Jesus' name that people are hatched, matched, patched, and dispatched. That was a bit of a tongue twister. But we hear his name, don't we? We hear his name in all sorts of places. Does anyone know who he is when we hear that? Just in the school classroom, in the staff room, in the workplace, in our conversations when people maybe use it as a swear word, when people pray in his name, when maybe we just go through the motions. Who is this man? Is he just a name? Is he just a name? Here's a question to answer. What's your response to who Jesus is? He's intriguing. And maybe you're not quite sure what to make of him yet, how he should be affecting your life. But Jesus, as we saw, became king by dying. He became king not by beating the Romans, by going to take over a new throne. He became king because he defeated death. He stripped sin of its power. He gained forgiveness for us. Jesus came and died on the cross, and he was crowned on the cross, and he was crowned with a crown of thorns. That was not the crown they expected. That was not the crown they wanted. But Jesus, ultimately, through his resurrection and new life, becomes the king of all creation. Not just the king of Jerusalem, the king of all creation. The one who, to be honest, demands our response. What will we make of him? How will we respond to him? On the third day, God raised Jesus to life, victory over death. The Apostle Paul summarizes in his letter to the Romans, right at the beginning of the book of Romans, in response to his mission, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. And just in case you want to know what this gospel is, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets, like Zechariah, in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David. Hosanna to the son of David. And through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul just puts it absolutely front and center. First few verses of Romans, this is what I'm here to do. This is the good news. As it's been told long ago, descendant of David, Son of God, through resurrection, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is Jesus. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Sunday, he was an answer to those years of longing. Who is it? Who is it? They wanted a military leader. He was stripped and died. But Jesus stripped death of its power. The way of the king is the way of the followers. We're called to go the same way. We're called to take up our cross and follow. What are we longing for? What are we wanting to find out? What's our question? Let's start with Jesus and go from there, shall we? Yes, there's lots of other questions in the world, lots of other questions. But framing it in the context of the King of all creation starts to make sense of all other questions. Not answers always. But it starts to go, Christians believe there is a God over all this creation, a God who I can know because Jesus Christ came, lived, died, and rose again, so that I and you may be forgiven of sins, may be friends with God, may join in with his kingdom renewing, world creating, world renewing work, so that we can be followers of this servant king, the great king, the one who washes our feet and who leads our lives. That's what Matthew's saying. This is not just a great thing to wave palm trees at. Matthew said, this king has come. It's in history. It happened. It happened. What will you do about it? How will you respond to this moment in history? What's your answer to that question? What's your worship that you'll give? What's the news that you will tell to other people? Let's pray, and then Joe is going to come and lead us in a few moments of reflection. And then John in the band will lead us in our closing song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that on that day, you announced really clearly who you are. You announced that you are the King who has come to rescue. You are the King who is gentle and loving and humble. Help us to follow your way, to live in your life. We pray this in your name. Amen.